case of the day, which is Martinez versus Lopez. Justice Miller Lerman will join the court. She's just joined the court. This is Mr. Martinez.
Yes.
Good morning to you. Before you begin, let me make sure everybody else is here. Ms. Swanson, you're here this morning. Mr. Martinez, do you have any questions before you begin?
No questions.
Ms. Swanson, do you have any questions? Mr. Martinez, do you understand each side has 10 minutes to argue, and you can reserve part of your time for rebuttal. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Good. Do you have any, I already asked you this, but do you have any other questions?
No.
You may proceed.
Thank you. Your Honor, may I please the court? My name is Jesse A. Martinez, the appellant, appearing on behalf. The question presented here is, did the district court err in the decision against Martinez based on the deception of Lopez and the lack of evidence to support the claims that are being and have been denied by the petitioner and by being unlawfully judged by the court? Looking at the case, we want to dispute the decision that the lower court, on account of having no substantial or supported evidence on the counterclaim presented by Lopez in this case. If you diagnose this case carefully, we can see that many unlawful and false claims have been made on their presentation. Court error in this, we want to proclaim that the decision by the lower court to grant $151,800 to a respondent is false by their counterclaim. Martinez not only received $3,200 per month in 2018, but is unlawful to demand $4,600 per month after paying off Lopez debt to mortgage lenders and utilities of the property. Number one. The judgment against petitioner is unjust. It is unjust to ask the $151,800 due to the fact that the property has not made much to the plaintiff and collected amount has gone to bills, years of repairs, and to mortgage. Failing to consider that the defendant, Paulo Lopez, has not made any payment since June 2018, and not taking any responsibility for becoming current of the time in default.
I beg your pardon, sir. What outcome do you think there should have been? What did the judge do wrong?
The judge failed to see the evidence. The evidence was presented. There was an exhibit called Exhibit 8 that explain exactly all the payments through the properties, and they lacked the evidence there. Their exhibit explained that from June 2012 to June 2018, that were their payments. And they confessed and under oath that they were current up to October 2018. I took over the property in November 1st because of all the lack of payments. Thank you.
So is there evidence of how much money you received in rent?
They confessed that they were receiving $4,600 per month. And they provided no evidence whatsoever.
That's what the judge determined your $151,000 was owed for those rents of $4,600 per month. Is that correct?
Yes.
But you're saying there's no evidence of that $4,600?
Right. They provided no evidence whatsoever. It was hearsay only.
Did you provide any evidence of how much money you received in rent during that time?
I presented all my evidence to my counseling at that point, but if he presented it or did not, it was out of my hands. Thank you. I will continue. I was forced to pay out of pocket to recover the property from damages and from entering to foreclosure. So granting this amount will cause irreparable damage to the appellant, Jesse Martinez, consequently losing his investment he has put in this property since 2007. I want to briefly mention Rambo lawyering. It was sharp practices in the court on half-truths and mostly blatant lies. Under Rule 60D3 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedures is commonly known as the term fraud on the court. We want to provide emphasis on the grounds that Lopez and his attorney were aware of the default by showing the copy of checks they paid to Martinez. Lopez tried to obscure the fact that the mortgage payments were in default.
Mr. Martinez, are you aware that Nebraska does not have Rule 60 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure? That's not a thing in Nebraska. You understand that?
I understand.
Okay. Thank you.
May I ask another question?
Yes.
In the trial level, you were the plaintiff. That's correct?
Yes.
You started the lawsuit.
I did.
Right. And what relief did you seek? What did you want the judge to do? Were you suing on the promissory note? Is that what you were suing on?
I counseled with my counsel, and the objective was to foreclose. But this took 3 years, and was never had any long talks with the counsel. It is believed that there was double dealings with the other attorney, because why would it take 3 years?
Well, let me return to my question. If this court looked at your complaint where you said Mr. Lopez did these things wrong, and it is limited to not paying you on the note, but it doesn't mention the potential for foreclosure, how would the judge know that you were seeking foreclosure? You were asking the judge for some money.
It was the responsibility of my counsel. So I just went with what he came up with. And I provided all my evidence, and if he didn't present it, then, you know, that left me out. But I believe that I do not need much of my evidence to be presented, because they presented their own evidence and they contradicted their own presentation with that. And I will continue. So they presented checks to persuade the court that they had the truth on their side and granted the favor of the judge. I will highlight this case, Estate of Adams versus Fellini. As the judge, as the attorney in this case, made false statements to deceive the court, we want to contend that the same tactic was used in Martinez versus Lopez. The opposing attorney was forced to resign and therefore encouraged the opposition to attack with deceit. Our grounds in this case are based on ethics of Cohes, that court Martinez's views are not correct, but beyond doubt. Okay? Number one, Lopez claims to have paid all payments to mortgage lender through October 2018. It's not true. Ability to pay by collecting rent payments on multiple properties throughout November 2018 should conclude that the defendant never intended to fulfill the contract and just collected to have no loss. Number 6 months behind on payments to all the properties, as you could see on Exhibit 8, affirming Lopez's default by his own accounts. We would also conclude he has falsified his facts and statements, which he claimed beforehand of being current, and lied to the court on their accounts. He was in default to the banks and going under foreclosure. This case is a pure fraud on the court, brought by the respondent Pablo Lopez and his attorney Steffi A. Swanson. They have no respect for the lower courts. The respondent Pablo Lopez brings the lies and deception to his attorney, Steffi A. Swanson, endorses the lies and signs off on the lies and deception to make it credible to the court. Then to top it off, after scheme to the court, the attorney Steffi Swanson comes in with her own lies, fraud, deception, sharp practices, frivolous cases, abusing the powers of the court, abusive tactics, double dealings with the attorneys, prolonging cases to turn over all profits to attorney fees, falsified facts in order to deceive the courts, just to name a few of her trickery. I reserve 20 seconds for my rebuttal.
Thank you very much. Ms. Swanson, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Steffi Swanson. I am here representing Paulo Lopez. He is the defendant appellee in the present case. The parties entered into a real estate purchase agreement. This was an installment sale agreement whereby Mr. Lopez agreed to pay for the purchase of properties in Omaha, Douglas County, Nebraska. The parties entered into the real estate agreement. Part of it was seller financed. Part of it was a loan assumption by Mr. Lopez to assume the existing mortgage loans that were recorded against the property. And then the balance was a seller financed amount of in the amount of $335,000. The evidence showed that Mr. Lopez began making those payments directly to Mr. Martinez of $2,000 a month. That was in accordance with the terms of the contract. Also, Mr. Lopez proceeded to pay the monthly mortgage payments to the mortgage lender.
What does the evidence show about paying monthly mortgage payments by Mr. Lopez? When did they ever stop?
They did stop.
At what time?
It was June of 2018. And that is presented on exhibit number 8 that was presented to the court, which was a compilation of payments that were paid by both to the mortgage company and the cash payments that were paid directly to Mr. Martinez.
And what's the evidence in your view as to how much rent was collected by Mr. Martinez?
We don't have any evidence as to what Mr. Martinez collected for rents from November of 2018 through the date of the trial. Mr. Lopez testified that at the time Mr. Martinez entered the property on November 1st of 2018 without any court authority, he entered the property and began advised the tenants to begin making rent payments to him. Mr. Lopez testified that at that time he was collecting $4,600 per month. Mr. Martinez did not present any evidence when called as a rebuttal witness that set forth what he collected.
So let's put ourselves in the shoes of the trial court. What evidence did the trial court have as to the monthly rent payments? Mr. Lopez's testimony, no more, no less, is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Is the evidence of what? Is Mr. Lopez's evidence enough to base a judgment upon?
Our claim was for an accounting for the amounts that Mr. Lopez had been paying to Mr. Martinez, not only during the course of the rents that were due from November 1st when he entered the property illegally and started collecting rents, plus we were asking for credit for other payments that Mr. Lopez had paid to Mr. Martinez for other properties that had been part of a larger purchase agreement. The court gave no weight to any of those other payments that were paid. He strictly focused on payments with regards to the Vinton Street property. And the evidence, that was the only evidence that the court had. Mr. Martinez did not present any other evidence as far as payments. We believe the evidence is sufficient to show that those were amounts that were entitled to be paid to Mr. Lopez. That was lost rental income to him as the owner of the property. As the buyer under a real estate, under the installment sale contract, Mr. Lopez became the owner, and he had the rights to possess that property as of June 5th of 2012. From November 1st of 2018, those possessory rights were withheld because Mr. Martinez had entered the property and instructed the tenants to pay him the rent. So he lost his income. He lost his ability to receive funds to pay the mortgage payments. Mr. Martinez has argued that the mortgage payments should be considered and should have been considered by the lower court, but that's a separate payment. That's a separate obligation of Mr. Lopez. When he purchased the property, he purchased it subject to that mortgage debt, and the status of that mortgage debt is not relevant because Mr. Martinez sued for the balance due on his purchase agreement.
What is the scope of the complaint? What kind of relief was Mr. Martinez seeking?
He wanted money damages only.
On the basis of what? Somebody did something wrong, pay me some money. What did they do wrong?
Because Mr. Lopez stopped paying him the $2,000 a month, he filed an action to recover the balance.
And the $2,000 a month is represented by what?
That was represented in the purchase agreement as well as a separate promissory note.
So it's failure to pay on the note.
Correct.
Is that the scope of the complaint?
That was the scope of the complaint.
Was it seeking foreclosure?
No, it was not.
Was it seeking specific performance?
No.
Thank you.
He was solely seeking his damages. He wanted his money. Unfortunately, Mr. Martinez's actions of entering the property, taking over possession of the property, that created a new set of problems for the parties because Mr. Lopez was then prevented from receiving the rental income in order to continue to make the mortgage payments or to attempt to pay and bring those payments current.
And that may be relevant in real life. He doesn't have the income to do that, but in terms of satisfying the terms of the promissory note, why is that relevant?
In my opinion, it wasn't relevant for this court proceeding. I think Mr. Martinez is trying to make that a relevant argument with regards to the mortgage payments. With regards to his complaint against Mr. Lopez, he wanted his money. He wanted the balance due on the contract, and that's what he was awarded by the court. I believe that the district court's order was correct, both in their award of damages to Mr. Martinez on his complaint, as well as the award of damages to Mr. Lopez with regards to his counterclaim for an accounting of lost revenues since November 1st of 2018. I don't believe Mr. Martinez argued that there was contradictory evidence, there was fraud presented to the court. I don't believe he has presented any evidence in his appeal to specify what that fraud consisted of. Our evidence that we presented had copies of the checks that were paid during the term of this contract up to the date that the lawsuit was filed in December of 2018. That evidence supported what Mr. Martinez claimed was owed to him. So those amounts balanced, and we agreed with that.
Is there any dispute as to the last time Mr. Lopez paid the $2,000 per month?
No.
And when was the last payment?
The last payment was in November of 2018.
Thank you.
And that is also part of Exhibit Number 7, which has the list of copies of checks that were issued to Mr. Martinez.
You may have answered this, but the assumption of the other debt, was that part of the purchase agreement?
Yes.
But it wasn't brought in the complaint?
Correct.
So that just wasn't dealt with by the court or the evidence or the parties?
Right. Under the real estate purchase, an installment purchase agreement, if there's a breach, the seller has four options. They can foreclose the contract, they can sue for damages, they can sue for specific performance. And there's one, and they can sue to rescind the contract. Mr. Martinez chose to sue for the damages and to recoup the balance of the monies that were owed to him specifically on the contract.
Under the promissory note.
Correct.
But not the monies owed to the third-party lender.
No, because that, and Mr. Mart Lopez, once Mr. Martinez entered the contract with Mr. Lopez, He divested himself of possession of that property. He had no interest in that real estate anymore. It belonged to Mr. Lopez. That was a debt that Mr. Lopez assumed as part of the purchase agreement.
Well, I assume there's still a loan or a lien against the property for that loan. Is that correct? So Mr. Martinez, Mr. Lopez gets the property back, it'd be subject to that loan.
That's correct. And at no time did Mr. Martinez bring any information or evidence to the court with regards to any payments that he had paid from November 1st forward to those mortgage companies.
Just wasn't an issue.
Right. And again, he was suing for his damages on the note. He wanted his money, and that was in the testimony. He wanted his money, and so the judge entered an order awarding him the balance that was due.
So what is the theory or the propriety of seeking an accounting when the plaintiff sues on the promissory note, no more, no less? You would have an accounting in terms of whether or not there was the $2,000 a month, right? That would be the obvious thing. How'd the rent get in the picture?
Our action for rent was, or for an accounting, was a result of Mr. Lopez entering the property on November 1st without a court order.
You mean Mr. Martinez?
Yeah, thank you, Your Honor. Yes, Mr. Martinez entering the property with no lawsuit being filed, no legal action giving him the authority. He has no ownership interest, and he directed the tenants to send payments to him rather than Mr. Lopez. That created that's a financial issue that caused a problem for Mr. Lopez.
Is that a financial issue that is properly brought in an action seeking recovery for money due on a promissory note?
Well, Mr. Lopez brought the counterclaim requesting the accounting because he is the person, as the owner of the property, that is entitled to those monies, and they were being paid to Mr. Martinez.
I'm sorry. So how does the issue of who collected the rent bear on the factual issue of did Lopez pay Martinez $2,000 a month? That's the issue in the case.
That issue on the complaint,
yes,
we agreed that he was paying $2,000 a month and that had stopped.
Okay. And you think that this is a proper counterclaim to an action on a promissory note?
Yes, because as the owner of the property, he should be collecting those rents. Mr. Lopez should
Which could be the subject of a whole other lawsuit, couldn't it?
Yes.
So is that a proper counterclaim to an action on a note?
I believe it is, because it dealt with the real estate. It dealt with the terms of the purchase agreement between the parties. We were also seeking to, as I said earlier, to collect other monies.
There's other features of this deal, but the piece of the deal that is the subject of the complaint is merely collecting on a promissory note, correct?
Right.
Is there anything that would prevent permissive joinder of a counterclaim like you brought, permissively joining it to a complaint focused only on the promissory note? Didn't ask my question very well.
May I answer? I'm out of time.
If you understood the question.
Justice Stacy's questions are better than mine. Same topic, thank you.
Can you ask that again, please?
Is there anything that prohibits permissively joining your counterclaim?
I don't believe so. I believe that if there is an issue between the parties to a lawsuit, we should join as many issues to be considered between the parties during that one lawsuit.
Thank you.
To be determined.
But a narrow accounting on a promissory note would be who paid what monthly on the promissory note. That'd just be do the math, right?
Right.
Okay. But this is a whole other issue about Mr. Martinez collecting rent.
Well, that's the counterclaim was the issues of how much rent had he collected.
It's not a defense to collecting on a note.
No, it was a separate action for recovery.
Thank you.
Yes, I didn't answer that well.
Did the district court restore the property, Mr. Lopez's possession of the property? Did the court take any action in that respect?
The court ruled that Mr. Lopez was the owner of the property. The court cited the Beckner versus Urban case that was ruled on last year by this court, and I believe Mr. Lopez still is the owner of that property because his interest has not been divested.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, sir, 18 seconds.
We'll give you 20 seconds, Mr. Martinez.
As far as my concern, I took over the property on November 1st because they failed to pay the property. The property failed to pay the note to myself and failed to pay the mortgage payments. They went into default. I had to call the banks. The banks told me that they were foreclosing, and I had to do something. I ran to get hard money, and I paid, and I did my best to, you know, and that's why I took over. I gave him a payoff, go and get my money, and ever since, they've been trying to take my property without paying a cent since 2000.
They've given you a judgment for what was owed on the promissory note. Is that correct?
Correct.
So the district court awarded you $183,000 for what was owed on the promissory note.
Correct. And I believe that was just, but it doesn't give it justice for them to receive $151,800 for what? For me managing the property, taking care of it, making the payments, having to do all this work? It doesn't make any sense.
Mr. Martinez, was there any language in your agreement with Lopez or in the promissory note from Lopez to you that permitted you to take possession of the property without legal proceedings?
I took control of the property because we were losing it. So to answer your question, Your Honor, it did not. I believe we were doing a gentleman's deal between both of us. We didn't sought, you know, proper counsel. But I believe we were doing our best to make it happen.
So the short answer to my question is no, there was not any language that would have permitted that.
No, but there was an expiration date on that, and I was more than generous. It went beyond 2 years after the expiration, hoping that this buyer would come through on his promise. But no, what he was doing, he was taking his money and he was buying other property behind my back and putting my property into foreclosure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments in Martinez versus Lopez. And counsel and Mr.